with Yom Kippur, I just wanted, we didn't mention one thing about Malkus, which you get before Mikvah, before Mincha. So our custom is to do it in the following way. You get down on all fours, facing north. The head is to north, the other side to south. Now you bend down, you're like crouching on the floor, and then there's 39 Malkus. So you have, it's given in a triangular motion. Right, left, center, right, left, center, right, left, center. You do it 13 times, which equals 39. Now the custom is, when you say it, you say the pasuk v'hurachum yichaped oven v'lo yashchitz v'hibra l'hoshiv apa v'lo yorek kol chamosai, which has 13 words in it. And you do each motion to one word, like v'hurachum yichaped oven v'lo yashchitz v'hibra l'hoshiv apa. And this you do 39 times, so you say the pasuk 3 times. The one that gives the malchus says it, and the one that's getting the malchus says it. Both people say the malchus. It's not supposed to hurt. And that's why the halacha is that a son is even allowed to give it to his father. But they shouldn't do it too hard. A father can give it to the son as hard as they want. That's not a problem. Okay. When does Yom Kippur actually begin? So, for women, as soon as they light candles, as soon as they bench licht, Yom Kippur begins. Technically, for a man, it begins at Shkia, at sundown. Now, really, once you finish Suda Mafsekes, once you finish the meal, when you finish the meal, you want to continue drinking or eating, you need to make a condition, at least a mental condition, that you're planning to eat or drink more. Otherwise, the fast begins when you bench at Suda Mafsekes. So let's say you do it early and then you want to run to the mikveh, you want to come back to the shul, you want to take a drink. You need to have in mind that you want to drink until the latest part of, until the fast actually begins. Now there's another issue also here, what's called, when is Yom Tov actually accepted? For instance, can a woman bench licht and drive to shul, or get driven to shul? So it's a big, big discussion in halacha. According to the Alter Rebbe, once a woman benches licht, she accepts Shabbos. And in case of urgency, she can make a condition that she's not accepting Shabbos. But somebody in the family has to accept Shabbos or Yom Kippur within 10 minutes. Then after she lights. Let's say she lights early, 6 o'clock. Let's say licht benching would be, let's say, fragments at 6:10, yeah? And she's lighting early, 6 o'clock, because she wants to drive to shul. The din is that she needs, if she lights at 6 o'clock with the condition that she's going to drive to shul, somebody in the house needs to accept Shabbos or Yom Kippur by 6:10. Otherwise, you can't do it. There are other poskim that hold this even more than 10 minutes, but according to the Alter Rebbe and those poskim, it's actually within 10 minutes, you need to actually accept Yom Kippur. Well, then you have a problem. You have to make it to shul within 10 minutes and accept Yom Kippur as soon as you get to shul within the 10 minutes, or else one person, Taka, needs to walk.
So within 10 minutes, it's okay.
Huh?
Within 10 minutes, it's okay. That's all.
Within 10 minutes.
How about if
they
light a candle in the shul?
That you have to know if the shul allows it. This shul does not allow women to light candles in the shul. So don't even think about it, because I'll blow them out. Why? Because it's dangerous. That's all. Besides the fact that it has heat. And if one woman does it, you'll have another 30 women doing it. Then you have a bonfire. No, that's the way it works. I mean, listen, get practical. I'm telling you right now, if there's lift that's still before Yom Tov, I'm going to blow them out. I'm just telling you, because it's pushing, it's not safe, it's dangerous, kids are in the back, and it's mamash sakana. There's also a minig, like somebody asked me this today, can you put up a crock pot of food out of Yom Kippur, that it should be ready to eat Matzah Yom Kippur? So it's brought down in halacha that you don't do it. The meaning is that you don't do it. Number one, it looks like you're preparing from Yom Kippur, even though you did it before Yom Kippur, obviously. It looks like you're preparing from Yom Kippur for after Yom Kippur. And also it looks like you're a freser, that you can't wait even a second to get the food. So it's for those two reasons, the minig is not to. But it's a minig brought down in Shulchan Aruch.
Even if it's full of cooked
termites? Huh? Yeah, it's nothing to do with it. It just doesn't look right. Unless it's somebody is sick or whatever, but it's the minig is not to do it. Okay, that's far as... Okay, now, when you come to Yom Kippur at night to shul, you have to put on the talis before Shkiyah. Because you're not allowed to make a bracha on the talis after sundown. So you have to make sure you come to shul and put on the talis. Now, married men, obviously, or Sephardic men, wear talis. It's also customary in our circles and many circles that men wear a kittel. What's the purpose of a kittel? To remind us, basically, it says, of the shrouds that after 120 years are going to bury us in. So on Yom Kippur, we want to remind ourselves of the end of life, that we should wake up, you know, and do tshuva. Another reason is because white is a sign of purity, even though angels are not white, but the pasuk says about the angels that they're white, because white is a sign of purity, so you wear the pure garments of white on Yom Kippur. Okay, so now you make the bracha on the talis before Shkia. Then you get ready. There's also the 9 kapitlach of Tilm to say before Kol Nidrei. But then you start Kol Nidrei. Now, it's very interesting what this whole concept of Kol Nidrei is. If you think about it, everybody runs to shul for Kol Nidrei. You know, the people that never see in shul, then one time they come to shul is Kol Nidrei. And basically, Kol Nidrei is basically a nullification of the vows for the future. It's not such a big, if you think about it, it's not such a great concept.
So don't come to
show. No. Come before Kol Nidrei. Now, why do we do it? Because a person makes vows and, you know, they want to make sure that you don't do it. But what actually happens is you have a Beis Din of 3 people, 2 people plus the Chazan is a Beis Din. What does that Beis Din do? As it says, B'yeshiva Shemaita, B'yeshiva Shemaila, B'yeshiva Shemata, B'yeshiva Shemata, B'yeshiva Shemaila, Onu Matilim Nespalel Imo Avroyonim. And one of the greatest uniquenesses of Kol Nidrei really is that this Beis Din that stands together with the Chazan, the 2 people, and the Chazan is the 3rd, actually permit to daven with the sinners. Onu Matilim Nespalel Imo Avroyonim. Because the Gemara says that any fast day that the sinners are not included is not an acceptable fast by Hashem. And therefore, it starts in Kippur, we start actually with that. But the Rebbe always says that Adas HaMokim is supposed to be said quietly. That the Chazan doesn't say loud, he starts loud from Kol Nidrei. But he doesn't start, he says it 3 times, and he does it quietly. Now, also... Huh? That's for the past and this for the future. And you still got to do it anyway. Every year. Now, after Kol Nidrei, you know, the Chazan starts making the Bracha Shachiyonu. And everybody says it together with the Chazan. We finish before the Chazan that we should be able to answer Amen on his Bracha. But why do we say the Bracha Shachiyonu? Because Yom Kippur is a Yom Tov. You need to make a Shachiyonu for each Yom Tov. The problem is normally we do it when we make Kiddush. But this Yom Kippur, you're not making, any Yom Kippur, you're not making Kiddush. So therefore, the din is, you have to say a Shechiyonu. But therefore, as we mention every year, and the Rebbe says it should be publicized, that the women that lit candles and made a Shechiyonu candle lighting, they don't make a second Shechiyonu, because they already made it for the Yom Tov when they lit the Yom Tov candles. So therefore, the women have to be told that they don't make a Shechiyonu again after Kol Nidrei. Okay, then you daven Ma'ariv, again, the extended Ma'ariv with Al-Chetz, and there's not really a repetition, because there's no repetition at Ma'ariv, but again, the Chazan has all the piyutim, but it's not actually a Chazar Seshatz, because Ma'ariv, the Gulen doesn't have Chazar Seshatz. The main concept of Yom Kippur is the concept of the Viduyim Dalchetz and the Oshamnus. And as you notice, the Oshamnu goes according to the Aleph Beis, Oshamnu, Bagadnu, Gazalnu, Dibanu Deifi. Dalchetz go by double Aleph Beis. And the reason for this is, when we say Oshamnu, for that matter, it says in Halacha and in Kabbalah, definitely, that it refers to every sin that begins with an Aleph. Bagadnu means not only rebel, but any sin that begins with a Beis. Gazalnu doesn't only mean stealing, it means any sin that begins with a Gimel. And the same thing in Al-Chetz, you say, you know, all the double Aleph Beis refers actually to any possible sin is included automatically in Al-Chetz because of the Aleph Beis status. One.
The parts that are individually for him, do we read those parts to follow him or listen?
He's supposed to listen. The parts that are exclusively the chazans, you don't say. Now, what do you mean? There's certain piyutim, it says chazan and kohol.
Kohol, yeah.
Those we say both. But I'm saying the rest of, not the piyutim, not the additional parts.
Yeah.
But when it says chazan and kohol, as a rule, with very few exceptions, when it says in the machzer, chazan v'kol, chazan v'kol, chazan v'kol, the way it works by any of the additions of the piyutim, the chazan starts the first. Okay? We say first and second. He says second, we say third. He says third, we say fourth. Because we are always ahead of the chazan. You have an exception like Shmakaleinu, where it says, pasik by pasik, then the chazan says Shmakaleinu, we say Shmakaleinu. He says Al Tashlechenu, we say Al Tashlechenu. You know, but all the other piyutim, the chazan starts it, the first one, we say one and two, he says two, we say three, he says three, we say four, and
the rest of,
you mean the actual repetition itself, yeah. Yeah, what?
Is it more important to be saying these parts, these certain parts rather than skipping?
What's more important on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, more important than the additional thing that we say in the Musaf, is the actual davening. That's infinite, I can't say infinitely, but it's definitely much more important than all the additional piyutim that we say. Okay? The main davening of the, you know, the regular davening that we say until the Shemone Esrei, the Amidah of the Shemone Esrei, that is the most important part of the davening. More important than even the Sanu Teikif, more important than all the, even the main piyutim.
It's very important that a person stay up with the meal.
No, they don't need to stay up. Stay with the meal, stay up. If stay up, if you fall asleep, it'll be a problem. No, but you should, if whenever you can, stay with the minyan. If not, in halacha it says, it's better to say less with more intent than a lot with less intent. In other words, what you really need to know, and that this is very important for people to know, there are certain piyutim, for whatever reason, that are considered more important than others. Okay, like the ones where you open the Aron Kodesh, okay? Those are considered more, not the davening, I'm talking about in the piyutim. Those are considered more important than the other ones. Okay? And even more important than the Aveidah of Yom Kippur. That we say, you know, in the Musaf, the whole process of the Aveidah of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. So therefore, it says that what happens if you can't read so fast? You know, it's either reading half words, and it's better to focus on a few of the primary parts, say those properly, and forget about the others. If you can't, if you're not able to keep up, that's what should be done.